Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Does this green jacket make our butt look big?
When you die on your deathbed, you will receive total consciousness. So I got that going for me.
This is a Masters Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
It's Masters Week with Dirt and Spray on your home for golf's finest traditions. 1080.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two, Dirt and Spray here on this beautiful Tuesday. Enjoy the weather while we have it. A lot of college basketball talk in the first hour with Gonzaga, Baylor. Baylor beating Gonzaga. We have some football to get into here in hour number two. We got the mail sack at 8:15. Got some Blazers to talk about. Yusuf Nurkic will not play tonight because of knee inflammation. Are you worried about that?
It's a big game, too.
TJ Leaf was signed to a two-way contract for our non-G League affiliate.
Hell yeah, brother. We got Rondé Hollis-Jefferson, too. We didn't even talk about that.
You're right. We got that over the weekend.
Reunited, and it feels so good.
Yeah, I just think every player Neil likes, and that's probably a guy that's going to end up on the roster at some point. But, yeah, I want to kick off hour number two. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was reading some stuff on Trey Lance. There are a lot of people that believe Trey Lance is actually going to be the pick for the Niners at three.
Okay, they traded all that to go get Trey Lance, huh?
Well, okay, can I just ask you this? And I want to first preface this question by saying I'm probably with you in your tone and what you just said. But to play devil's advocate, if John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan both tell you what they see in Trey Lance is awesome, should we really go, really? Trey Lance at number three?
Yeah, they thought Jimmy Garoppolo was better than Patrick Mahomes. So I'm not going to trust them that much quite yet. I think they've earned it for every other position on the roster. They got a bit of a John Elway situation going on there right now.
They just can't identify that position.
They can. And it ended up, it's amazing because if you said it when it happened, you would have laughed at me. But the Garoppolo trade was the worst thing that ever happened to that team. Now, maybe they still end up signing like a Kirk Cousins or they're in the same spot and they don't draft a Mahomes. But if they would have been looking for a quarterback in that draft, they likely, I would give them the benefit of the doubt, would have taken Watson or Mahomes over Solomon Thomas. And if they did, I think the 49ers are in a much different spot. You don't need to trade three first-round picks to try and move up in the draft. How many of these trades, and this is the reality of it, how many trades of a team, mortgaging their future isn't the right phrase because the Rams have been to a Super Bowl since they've done it, and the Eagles have been to a Super Bowl since they've done it. But how many of them have worked out? The three that stick out in my mind that we've seen recently are the trade up to get RG3.
You say mortgage the futures? That's
like giving them multiple first round picks to move up and get a quarterback in the top five.
The Chiefs did it to get in the top 10, right? To get Mahomes at 10.
How much did they give up to do? I don't quite view that in the same light as what the Rams, the Eagles, and the and Washington.
Going all the way to the top.
All the way to the top two or three. Because all three of those quarterbacks, RG3's obviously not with them anymore. The Rams traded Goff this offseason and Carson Wentz is gone. Now, they've been good teams, so it doesn't.
On the Bears, Trubisky is
right,
gone too.
It doesn't debilitate your chances to win because, again, Philly's been to a Super Bowl. They've won it, and the Rams have been to a Super Bowl even after those trades. A lot of these don't end up panning out the way that we think they will on draft night.
Well, you're not wrong. The big trade to go up to the top of the draft to get the quarterback, it traditionally has not played out well yet. I'll have to look up what the Chiefs ended up trading to get up in the draft to go get Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, look that up for me. But it leads to the question that I was wondering yesterday that I'm going to ask you. You could, I mean, I think you have to label the Niner trade up to get three is them. This is it, right? Like, I like Shanahan and Lynch. I think they're a good combination. They're a smart run organization right now, and they've had some success. They've also had the unfortunate luck of hurt quarterbacks mm-hmm. or backup quarterback play. So they've had some really bad years. You'd imagine this is it. If they don't hit on this guy, I'd imagine the York family is going to take a look at that and go, okay, what am I getting here? You guys can't identify the most important position. You've hit in this spot, that spot, but I need a quarterback. You can't get one for me. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
It didn't work in Washington for the Shanahan family. It didn't work in Chicago. It didn't work for Peterson in Philly. McVay is given the benefit, I think, because he's a young genius on offense. And oh, by the way, or no, that wasn't even McVay. That was Jeff Fisher. So that cost Jeff Fisher and that organization.
Yeah, that
when
was,
they took
yeah.
the Goff move and it didn't work and they couldn't win right away.
Yeah, remember how bad he was with Fisher? And then McVay came in and turned Goff into a good quarterback.
Yes.
That's part of the reason why people view him as a genius.
So it led to me wondering this. How many of the quarterbacks in this draft, obviously we're not general managers. Obviously we don't break down all 22. Obviously we didn't play in college football.
Mm-hmm.
But of what we've seen from the guys in this draft, and I think you and I have seen a lot, except for maybe Trey Lance, how many guys would you mortgage your career on in the draft? How many quarterbacks are worth saying, if this guy doesn't work, I'm out of a gig?
By the way, the quick answer to the question. So they traded up. They swapped the pick. They had the 27th pick that year. So
was
they,
it a 10? Was he drafted 10th?
He was 10th overall. Okay. So they swapped the 10 and the 27, and then they added a future third and a future first.
Boy, yes, here you
so
go.
So a 1 and a 3.
You do that every time.
And they moved up to 10, and they got their
That's
guy.
That's a bargain considering what he is now.
To get what you got for him, right, number 10 overall. So the other ones, basically, if you want to get into that top five category, you're throwing in probably two more bonus ones or at least one more bonus one. I think the 49ers said he gave up, what, 3 ones? To move
well,
up
they
from,
swapped this year's
sure,
one, so people call it that, and then two future ones.
So one more first-round pick would have done it. So that was the difference in trading. They went from 12 up to 3. To answer your question, though, on which ones would I mortgage my future on, for me, it's really only one. It's really only Trevor Lawrence. Now, I like Justin Fields, and I'm not quite sure why he doesn't get the notoriety of a Zach Wilson or a Trey Lance or a Mac Jones even. I think Fields has a great body of work. I think he's an incredible athlete. He's tough. The hits that he took in that Clemson semifinal game to stay in and play the way that he did. He's got a big body of work against elite competition that's not a one-game sample size at North Dakota State or one good year at BYU or one good year at Alabama. He's done it for a period of time, and I feel like the only downside for him that people want to nitpick is the fact that no other Ohio State quarterback has been good in the NFL, and because Dwayne Haskins sucked, that means that Justin Fields is going to suck. I don't connect those dots. He's a better athlete. I think he was a much better college quarterback than Dwayne Haskins, despite maybe what some of the college numbers said. You just got to trust your eyeballs, but the answer to that question, there is only one, and that is Trevor Lawrence, that yeah. I'm willing to mortgage my future on. He's the only one.
I'm not a fan of this university with the quarterback history thing. Like, that plays a factor until the next guy hits. And then when the next guy hits, we don't say, oh, that school can't produce quarterbacks.
Right.
There's nothing alike between Justin Fields and JT Barrett. Nothing. They're different players. They're different right. styles.
Or
they're
Terrell
different coaches.
Pryor.
They're different offensive systems. So I you know, I hate that we fall into that trap. I'll give you my answer. Lance, Mac Jones, Fields, and Lawrence, and Wilson, mm-hmm. five. I risk it all for all of them.
All of them.
All of them.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. This is a fickle game. I already probably, as a general manager, have 2 to 3 years max anyway, because most organizations are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting a quarterback often. And good luck winning the whole, I'm going to go pay a random guy off the street to be my serviceable starter, Colt McCoy-like, or the kid from Houston who's been in the NFL forever, a Minnesota guy. He played at Minnesota.
Oh God.
Blanking
what is
his
name?
I
know. He took him to the NFC
for the Rams.
Title game. I know exactly. Yeah. Why are we blanking on his name?
I don't
name?
Know. That's going to piss me off. I've had this back-to-back days now. But I'm not playing that game. I don't want to play that game. It's not going to take me where I want to go, and it's not going to give me an extended stay within
Case
the organization.
Keenum.
Case Keenum, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get me an extended stay in the NFL. You know what? Is Mac Jones going to hit? I don't know. Is Justin Fields? I don't even know if Trevor Lawrence is going to be great. But you have to identify a QB.
Well, teams are going to do it. You're not wrong in that regard.
You have to do it. Yeah. Is it a gamble? Yes. But everything in that league is a gamble. And if you hit and that quarterback fits the system, if Shanahan's popping tape and says, Justin Fields is exactly what we need for this system to go win a Lombardi trophy. Trey Lance, small sample size, but look at this athlete and he doesn't turn the ball over. Put him in. You got it. I'm doing it. If my coach tells me that guy looks like somebody that would fit the system and doesn't come off as a psychopath in a Q&A session, I'm going up for all five of those SOBs, baby.
Here's where I agree with you. If I'm drafting somewhere in the top 10, I need a quarterback, and one of those guys falls to me, all over it. You take him because you need that position.
No, fall to me guy doesn't pan out. But it doesn't work in the NFL.
Are you going to mortgage 3 first-round picks to move up to number 4 to take whoever is on the scrap heap? Because you don't know who the first 3 are going to be. You have no guarantee on who the quarterback you're going to be able to take is at that point. And somebody is likely going to trade up.
Fourth?
Somebody's likely going to trade with Atlanta because they want
Atlanta's
a quarterback.
Probably getting out.
Atlanta's going to back down to somewhere in the back, you know, end of the top 10 or the early teens. There's going to be somebody that trades up. Are you willing to give up 3 first-round picks to move up to number 4? Because 1, 2, and 3 ain't moving. They ain't going anywhere.
Right.
So you're just saying, we don't know who's going to. It could be Zach Wilson. Maybe not. Maybe it's a smoke screen. Nobody has a ask clue who the hell's going number 3, and you have no no idea who you're going to get number 4, and you're mortgaging that as a leftover quarterback because you can't guarantee who you're going to get.
I'll give you my answer, and I'll bring up a team that I thought was going to do this, and they clearly found out that they can't. And I'll tell you what team that was, and we'll talk some more NFL. I'll give you my answer to that next on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back in. We have a 2-stop daily ticker coming up at 7:30. The first stop's going to be in Carolina with David Newton of ESPN on the Panther trade. And the second is to Andrew Greif of the LA Times to talk the Clippers-Blazer game tonight. You asked a question before the break as we were talking about mortgaging it all for the quarterbacks in this draft, as it appears there's going to be 5 guys taken in the first, 12 picks.
Yeah.
And you asked, would I be willing to still trade up to 4, knowing there's a great possibility and almost a certainty that Wilson, Lawrence, Fields, and or Lance are taken? And the answer to that is an easy yes, my man.
You're still doing
yes, it. Yes, I'm trading. Okay. Well, you're swapping first picks this year.
And then adding at least two future firsts, likely, or two firsts.
I hate saying that's a traded first pick. You're just swapping. That's not the same to me as saying we don't have a pick next year because we traded it.
Right.
So the Niner trade, everybody called it a three first round trade. No, it wasn't. Fair. They swapped one of them.
Because you're getting a first out of it. So it's a negative two in first round picks, not a negative three.
Right. But yeah, I'm willing to make that trade because here's the beauty. The beauty for me is I'll still have options. Either Fields, Wilson, or Lance is falling to four. And then I get to choose between one of them and Mac Jones. And Mac Jones, by the way, for all the doughy body type jokes that have been made about him on the internet, he ran a 4.79 40, which is the same as Mahomes. Is he as elusive? No. But top flight speed for 40 yards, he's going slightly faster than Patrick Mahomes.
In an open field.
And he had a great completion percentage. So... So to answer your question, yes. However, I want to tie this in. I would be concerned about this because I thought for certain, I text with our buddy Bunker in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And I know we haven't talked about the All-Star Game stuff with the MLB. Quite frankly, I just,
whatever. Yeah.
We'll get into it at some point.
A lot
I'm
of home
sure.
runs going to be hitting at Coors at the home run derby. It's going to be fun to watch.
We'll probably get into that topic at some point. But I was texting with him about Atlanta's pick. And I said, you think they're going Pitts at four? And he said, oh, no, they're trading it. It's just like not even a doubt. They're trading. They need assets. The roster sucks.
Somebody's going to give you two first-round picks to do it. You take that trade in a heartbeat.
And I thought, okay, that's going to be the Carolina move. And then Carolina traded multiple seconds to get Sam Darnold. So isn't that an indicator they're not taking that spot? Maybe Atlanta's not for sale at number four? Because if they were, you would think the Panthers would have taken that unless... They only liked a Justin Fields, and the Niners took that pick at three. Yeah. So they don't want to take Trey Lance. They don't want to take a Mac Jones. I felt like the Panthers were the team to make the big trade to go up. They haven't. Their trade was Sam Darnold. So one, what do you make of that? And my answer, two, and then the Sam Darnold trade.
The Sam Darnold trade was interesting, and I hope it's a signal of a couple of things. If you're Carolina and you've been looking at these guys and working them out, and there's not one that jumps off the page at you, there's not one that you fall in love with that you see and you say, this is our guy, man. We have to have this. If that isn't the case, and every other option that you've exhausted, you tried to get Stafford, didn't work out. You've kicked the tires on Deshaun Watson. That clearly ain't happening anytime soon. So for all of those reasons, I hope that coincided with them saying, you know what, let's give up a couple of future non-first-round picks. Was it a third and a second, whatever they're giving up? Let's pick up Sam Darnold. He's going to go from an offense in an organization that was terrible.
It's two second-round picks,
and we're going to bring him into Joe Brady's offense, who, by the way, despite really inferior quarterback play and an awful offensive line, Carolina had a highly-ranked offense last year, and that was with Christian McCaffrey. How many games did McCaffrey end up playing? The guy was hurt basically all season.
He played two or three games.
Right? He was hurt all year, and you still have one of the better offenses in terms of efficiency in the NFL. That's impressive. So you're saying, hey, we can bring him into this fold. Let's try him out for a year. If it doesn't work out, you know what that means? That means Carolina's going to be drafting in the top five or top six next year. If he sucks and Sam Darnold was the Darnold we saw for the Jets, you're going to again be drafting that high. And you don't have, to me, that's fine because you're only 1 year into your coach. You're only 1 year into your GM. You're 1 year into your offensive coordinator. Yeah. You go get that guy next year. And here's what I hope that they don't do, because I disagree with you. A lot of the quarterbacks that end up having a tremendous amount of success in the NFL, not all, but a lot of them are not the number one guy off the board or not the number two guy off the board. We always do this. We act like to find your franchise quarterback, it has to be a top five pick. Who would you consider the top five quarterbacks in the NFL? I wrote down four names: Mahomes, Watson, Rodgers, and Wilson. Who's your fifth there? You still want to go Brady? Or do you want to count somebody else?
Just throw Brady in because he won it.
Okay, only three of those guys are first-round picks. Right. One of them was a late first-round pick, and none of them were the first quarterback taken in their class. So I think this notion that you got to trade up and get a guy in the top five just because he's going to be a top five pick, hell, if Davis Mills is sitting there as a second-round pick, dude, take a flyer. Maybe it works out. I prefer organizations, especially early on in their infrastructure of a coach and a GM, let's build the walls of the house first. And then go get then make the big play for a quarterback when we're ready. And if I'm Carolina, I don't know if that's what they're going to do. Maybe they still take a quarterback at eight, but you just traded capital to get Darnold. Go, if Penei Sewell's sitting there, or Pitts is sitting there, or Jamar Chase is sitting there, go get that weapon. If you suck, you get your quarterback and mortgage your future next year.
Well, that's why I always hire somebody to build stuff for me, because I don't know how to properly build things, which is why I'd be an awful general manager.
Just throwing a roof up on there, man. There's no walls.
You're right. I'm getting way ahead of the window picking. I don't even have a structure built. There's no doubt. Look, I'm with you. If you're in a patient system, you know, Matt Rhule is probably in a pretty patient. He's got 4 to 5 years.
He's only been there for a year, dude, man. And they were decent last year.
I was playing the game of more, I'm Chicago.
Sure, San Francisco.
I'm San Francisco. Yeah. How many years can you play the patient game? San Francisco, as great as they may be to some, they've had one good year and every other year has been awful. It is. And that doesn't mean the coach sucks. It doesn't mean John Lynch necessarily sucks. They've just had bad quarterback luck while they've also been rebuilding. Mm-hmm. And while they got it to a rebuild where they could go to a Super Bowl, that one position just wasn't quite good enough to get them over that hump. So unfortunately, they're stuck in a spot where they go, we like this young prospect. He works. We're going to go for it here. You're probably right. You know, is Atlanta better served drafting a Penei Sewell than trading out? I mean, probably. But
if I'm Atlanta, I don't mind trading out just because you need the extra assets. And if somebody's going to give you two extra firsts,
right?
Like, that's the part of this trade for the Jets. Now, they're the Jets. They're going to find a way to screw this up. Do you realize now, though, over the first 2 days of the draft, over the next 2 years, nobody has more picks than the Jets?
I don't think that's fair to say.
Well,
this is a new regime.
Maybe I should give them the benefit of the
doubt. I'm not saying
the
Jets haven't traditionally sucked. I just don't think that's a fair thing to put on the Jets, given that they just hit the restart again.
That's fair. This year in the draft, they have 2 1s, a 2, and 2 3s. Now next year in the draft, they have 2 1s, 2 2s, and a 3.
I think the Dolphins might be right there with them with draft capital.
I mean, that you have every opportunity now to go get this right. When you have 10 picks in the first 2 days of the draft over the next 2 years, if you hit on 6 or 7 of those at a 60 or 70% clip, that changes your roster.
I'll push back just a little bit because I thought about that a few weeks ago too, of quarterbacks that are great in the league and where they were picked. I mean, you're not wrong, but doesn't history suggest that you want that pick? You want that top-ish pick to go get that quarterback? I think history would be on the side of the most successful quarterbacks were the highly taken ones, right? More so than the late rounds.
I don't know. Name me the top 10 quarterbacks of the last 20 years. Brett Favre.
Eli, Roethlisberger. Those are two Super Bowl winners.
Sure. Dan Marino was a late first round pick.
Dan Marino.
Tom Brady's a sixth round pick.
Well, yeah. I mean, the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Drew Brees. Where was Drew Brees drafted?
Wasn't Brees a first round pick by the Chargers?
He might have been, but he wasn't a top 5 pick.
I thought he was early second round.
Was he? Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe more quarterbacks are taken out of the top 10.
I think there's guys like, you know, Peyton Manning, guys like that, Andrew Luck. Like, there's certain guys that are like,
Troy Aikman was the number one pick.
Troy Aikman was the number one overall pick. It doesn't mean that you can't have success as the number one or top five pick.
I know what you're saying.
I think we do this every year in the draft where we get infatuated by guys that are the only ones we talk about. And it's like, we only mentioned 4 quarterback names in this entire draft class.
Well, Trask is a sneaky good name. His name surfaced with the Saints yesterday.
I think Mills was a great quarterback at Stanford that had to do with offensive lineman being in and out and a weird season. I love his skill set that he's bringing to the NFL. And if you could get a flyer on that guy and not have to trade 3 first round picks to go get him in the second round, that's a gamble that I'm willing to take.
Well, let's talk more about that Darnold trade. Is this a really smart move by the Panthers? Not giving too much, although I was surprised they had to give up 2 seconds to get Darnold in Carolina. What is the plan moving forward for the Panthers? David Newton of ESPN is going to join us for the Daily Ticker. And then we'll also talk with Andrew Greif of the LA Times. The Blazers take on the Clips. And we'll dive into that. Daily Ticker is next on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, two-stop Daily Ticker on a Tuesday, so we got to turn and burn. We'll start with David Newton. He's the ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Carolina Panthers. Go give him a follow on Twitter at DNewtonESPN. Big trade yesterday as they move in to get Sam Darnold from the New York Jets. The asking price was a 6th rounder in this year's draft, plus a 2nd rounder and a 4th rounder in 2022. So they get their quarterback. David, thanks for the time today. Your reaction, that move happened. I know they've been looking for a quarterback this offseason. They finally pulled the trigger. Sam Darnold is a Panther. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, one of the first texts I got when this happened was from my son, who lives in the Charlotte area, and his text to me was, "Sam Darnold, what the hell?" and I had a little bit of the same reaction, too, but the more I look at it, the more I think it makes perfect sense for the Panthers to do this. I mean, they were obviously pretty sure that the top three picks are going to be quarterbacks, and probably San Francisco trading up to number three, that they're sold on, Mac Jones out of Alabama, and that was the guy they really liked. And so they figured at number eight, who are they going to get right now? They obviously weren't sold on Justin Fields or anybody else was going to be there. And so they felt like the better choice at that point was Sam Darnold to give them an upgrade. And, you know, their general manager, Scott Fitter, talked yesterday, and he really liked Sam Darnold coming out of Southern Cal and felt like that he still has the potential to be good. And you're surrounded by weapons like Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore, mm-hmm. his old receiver from the Jets, Robbie Anderson, a new tight end, and Dan Arnold, which is going to be interesting now when you have Darnold to Arnold. It's hard to even say. But so I think from a talent standpoint, Sam's got more around him than he's ever had. So there's going to be no excuses. They do need a left tackle still. And I think that's another reason they probably wanted to stay with that 8th pick, because at the 8th pick now, they've got their choice of taking the best player available at several positions, and tackle is one of them.
Yeah, David, let me ask you one. I was a little surprised it took 2 second-rounders, but we could, you could probably argue about that and say it makes perfect sense to give that up for a guy like Darnold who's young. But if one of the quarterbacks is to fall and there's that possibility, if it's Mac Jones, do you think they take him? Is there any other name that if they were to fall for whatever reason that's there at 8, they would go quarterback? Or do you think they do what you're suggesting, take best player, whether that's Slater, Penei Sewell, Chase, whoever is on the board at that point, a different position?
Yeah, they want to win now. They feel like they were it's interesting because their owner, David Tepper, said after Cam Newton, they moved on from him, that, we know this rebuilding process is going to take a while. Rome wasn't built in a day. And all of a sudden, they got impatient, and they feel like they can win now. And Matt Rhule felt like they could win from the very beginning. So I feel like they need some pieces that are not, you know, quarterback, just quarterback, and left tackle, cornerback, or two of them. Heck, Kyle Pitts falls to number eight, which right. I don't think he will. You got to jump all over that because I think he's a generational type player. I don't even rule out, you know, a Micah Parsons from Penn State. You know, you got Matt Rhule who went to Penn State, and Micah, I think, is a guy that could fill the middle of that. I know they signed a free agent to fill that role, but, Micah Parsons seems to be a guy that could fill that for a long time to come. So they just let themselves in the best position to take the best player available and not be forced to taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I like that idea. Last one for you, David. We'll get you out of here on this. They have been connected to Deshaun Watson this entire offseason. Now, this trade happens. Darnold, he's got the 1 year left. They picked up the fifth-year rookie option there. Is there anything on that front? Are they waiting to see how the legal stuff plays out? I'm just curious, what is there an update on the Panthers and their desire to get Deshaun Watson?
Well, I mean, first of all, they were willing to make a run at him before all the legal issues mm-hmm. came up. The legal issues have changed things. Who knows when that's going to end? First of all, they just went through enough, you know, similar situation with their former owner Jerry Richardson over some type of allegations like that. So that's something they've got to be really careful about. You know, who knows in a year if Deshaun's cleared of everything, and you know Sam Bradford has not done well, then they'd have the manpower and the money power to go ahead and make another run at him at Watson if that was the case. First of all, Houston's got to be willing to trade it too. So,
right.
But again, those legal issues really changing. I think that was kind of where they were when they went for Sam Darnold because they lost out on Matthew Stafford because they tried to trade for him. Deshaun Watson's legal issues are a huge thing that's not going to go away right now. And then you look at the draft after the 49ers trade and what the odds of getting the quarterback they wanted at number eight, that diminished. So I think they just took the best option out there to upgrade to the position they felt like needed an upgrade. And then as the general manager said, it's a gamble. And so they took a gamble. And I guess I think Sam Darnold's a good gamble at this point.
Yeah, I love it, man. Great stuff. David Newton is his name. He covers the Carolina Panthers, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. Go give him a follow on Twitter at DNewtonESPN. David, we really appreciate the time this morning. I know it was probably a busy 24 hours for you. So thanks for taking a few minutes for us here in Portland.
Appreciate it. Have a good day.
There you go. All right. Stop one to stop two, and this one's in the NBA. The Blazers are back in action tonight, and they had a rough one Friday against Milwaukee. They bounced back with a big win over OKC, but people want to see a win over a quality team. Can they get it tonight? They're taking on the Clippers. Joining us now, our friend Andrew Greif down in L.A. at the L.A. Times. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Andrew Greif. Andrew, thanks for the time this morning. What's the status on the Clippers this year? They've been kind of out of sight, out of mind for us. A lot of tension's gone to Utah, the Lakers because of their injuries. You know, Phoenix has been a great story, but the Clippers, what's their story this year? 33-18, they've won 7 out of their last 10. How they've been playing as of late?
Yeah, they've won 7 out of the last 10, like you said. They've done that even though they've played without Serge Ibaka, their starting center, for the last 3 weeks, and Patrick Beverley, their starting guard, also the last 3 weeks. Beverly could actually come back tonight for his debut, first time since March 11th. He's officially listed as questionable. He's had some right knee issues all year. I think that more than anything, the story of the Clippers this year is they can make all the changes they want, and they brought in a lot of really lauded additions, like Nicholas Batum. He's had a career resuscitation with the Clippers. He's shooting above 40% from three. He's been a really great locker room guy, great passer, great defender. Luke Kennard, who's kind of one of their big offseason bets, has looked better in the last couple of weeks. Marcus Morris has been shooting the lights out. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, clearly more engaged. Mm-hmm. So all those pieces seem to be moving in the right direction. But I feel like the big question for the Clippers is that it could all be for naught if injuries screw this up, because Paul George is dealing with a big toe on his right foot that has kept him out now for about 11 games total this year. He said it's just going to be lingering most likely the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Again, Beverly and Ibaka, you know, a knee and a back, those are troubling injuries. This could break really well for the Clippers in terms of they stay healthy and they make a run, or it could just be shot down by, you know, one injury in the playoffs that's ill-timed.
Does this feel like, and Andrew, we might be getting ahead of ourselves here because we don't know what they're going to do in the postseason. Maybe they'll surprise everybody and have a title run, but is this season kind of it for them? I mean, they mortgaged everything for Paul George. They've mortgaged everything to bring in guys. They just got Rondo on the trade deadline. If they don't get to the West Finals, they don't get to a Finals or win a championship, is this kind of it for this group? Or do you imagine they'll probably look at it, maybe change a couple things, but largely keep it as is?
Well, I think the thing that is, you know, making everyone wonder how long this window will stay open for them, a championship window, is what does Kawhi Leonard do in free agency this summer? Because he's going to be unrestricted. He can do whatever he wants. The Clippers have done everything they can to put out the best foot forward for him. And still, you don't know what he's going to do. And so I think there, you know, when Paul George got his extension in December, there was a lot of confidence at that time. They felt like, hey, Kawhi really likes what kind of what the vibe is like here, what the environment is like here. Obviously, they have the advantage of being close to home for him. He's from the Moreno Valley, which is about an hour and a change east of L.A. So they have something working in their favor. But it's just you don't really know until free agency begins. And that is really the entire thing that will hinge on kind of if this championship window can extend into 2, 3, 4, 5 years. They don't really know that right now. And I have no doubt that if Paul George comes back and Kawhi will go somewhere else, that they would retool. They would find ways. This is a pretty creative front office. But obviously, Kawhi is a difference maker.
Yeah, Andrew Greif, our guest, LA Times, covers the Clippers, of course, formerly of the Oregonian. What's the chemistry stuff been like this year? I know that was an issue for them last year. I can't even count how many pieces I read throughout the year about them being upset about preferential treatment and that being kind of blamed for their shortcomings in the postseason. Has that been an issue this year?
The players have talked a lot about how they don't even talk about last year. That's what Nick Batum, who I know, again, people in Portland know him well. And talking to him really for the first time extended this year, I've just been really impressed at how like open and candid he is about like just his perspective on how things are going. And he's talked so many times about how, look, like this might be driving everyone, but we don't even talk about it. So I think that there is sort of like a happiness to move on from last year. I think that Batum has been a really big guy in terms of making sure that the locker room never gets too high or too low. You know, Kawhi Leonard has talked about Serge Ibaka being someone who he really enjoys being around, considering they won a title together. And Serge can kind of bring a little bit of noise out of Kawhi, can kind of get some like the humor side of him out. So that has been something that, or at least early on, was discussed as a really good addition too. So I do think that it is a better mix. Now, obviously, Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins are guys that have been divisive in previous stops. But I think what the Clippers are betting on is that those guys are coming into a locker room where there's a lot of familiar ties. Rondo worked with Ty Lue a decade ago in Boston. They're really good friends. Cousins has played on an Olympic team with Paul George. He's really good friends with Rondo and also goes back to Kentucky with Patrick Patterson. So I think there's a bet there that these guys are going to be coming into an environment where people can kind of tell them, hey, you're wrong here, and they should probably listen to them.
Yeah, great stuff. Andrew Greif, big one tonight. Blazers and Clippers, they need a win. Blazers need a win tonight. We'll see if they can get it against the Clippers. No use of Nurkic. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Andrew Greif. Covers the Clippers for the LA Times. Always great to catch up, man. Hope you're doing well, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thank you, guys.
There you go. Andrew Greif covers the Clippers. So big one for Portland tonight. The Clippers, when you look in the standings in the Western Conference, they currently are the 3 seed in the West. And that
they
stands,
be taking on?
They would be taking on the 6-seeded Portland Trailblazers, who are 2 games behind the Clippers. So you're 2 games out of the 3-seed. There's your encouraging sign. You're 2 games out of the 7-seed. There's your discouraging sign. And a big one for them. They need to win over a good team. Let's talk about it. What's at stake? Also, don't look now, but somebody's hurt again. Are we concerned? Next on The Fam.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, well, sack it up. Coming up, final hour. Get your questions in, 503-250-1080. Already got some good ones, 8:15. The Blazers back in action tonight, and we know it's a big one. We know the story this season about their record against teams over 500 and teams ahead of them in the standings.
Yes, we do.
Before we just get to that note, and we can do that a little bit at the top of the hour. Also, somebody got fired that we need to talk about, but...
Somebody got fired.
Yeah. Where's our level of concern on this one, though? So yesterday, Jason Quick reporting that Yusuf Nurkic is going to sit out tonight's game against the LA Clippers.
Yes, the Blazers emailed people.
With knee inflammation.
Yes.
This will be his 33rd game that he's going to miss this season. Of course, he missed the end of the 2018-19 year with a fractured leg, missed basically all of last season outside of the return in the bubble, played 12 games earlier this season before getting hurt, has been back for a couple of games, and is now hurt again. Now, no word on the severity and how long this is going to last. This is now his fifth season in Portland. In those 5 years, he's only played 70 games twice, and in one of those years was the year that he fractured his leg at the end of the season. Yeah. Where's our concern level here?
Look, I put a poll question on this, and I don't really care where anybody else answers. I put extremely worried. You can tell me this is precautionary. This is a part of coming back and the rehab process and the 20 minutes he's been given every game that he's been back. And they're just getting ahead of it. Okay, cool. Like, I'll take you at your word. I'm still going to be worried. The one common thing about him, and he's incredibly gifted. We know what he can mean when he's 100% healthy and he's in shape and he's playing well. We've seen the impact. The thing about him, though, is almost every season has ended with, when do we get Nurk back? Mm-hmm. Wait till Nurk gets in shape. Everything is wait till Nurk blank. When in the reality is Nurk going to stay healthy? And again, everything could be A-okay. He could play the very next game after tonight.
Yeah.
I'm worried about this every time. And I said this when he broke his leg. You are never the same after you have any surgery, let alone the bone coming out of your leg as a 7 foot, 200 plus pound man. I hope this guy can stay healthy. He seems like a great guy in the locker room, loves Portland. He is what we want in our center skill-wise, but he can't stay on the court, and that's the unfortunate part of this. I'm rooting like hell for him, but if you're asking if I'm worried, yeah, I'm really stinking worried.
Point of parliamentary procedure. Didn't he have a wrist injury?
Yeah. That's how the injury started this year, was it was a wrist, and then it turned into a calf.
Why is there conditioning and minutes restrictions? What the hell was he doing? It's a wrist injury.
No, because he had a calf injury.
His calf.
Oh, that's right.
He was out like 2 extra weeks because of the calf injury, which they were very vague on that.
We never really talked about that, but yes, he had another injury on top of the first injury that kept him from coming back that is now restricting his minutes.
This isn't going to, it's going to sound a certain way, but just, this isn't necessarily a shot at the team. A lot of teams in college and the pros are vague with injuries. They are not alone in this. But I'm also not going to take everything the team says about injuries to their word.
Yeah, you read right knee inflammation, you're like, all right, well, that doesn't sound too bad, right? Just a little knee inflammation. He should be okay. We thought that with Harry Giles, and then Harry Giles didn't show up in a game for like 2 months. And they never said anything.
I think he
about
was out for like a month, but yeah,
when he was going to return. I'm curious where fans are at on this. And I'll say, like, the injury note is just one thing. The injuries, and granted, the injury and the play go hand in hand. Not being able to stay healthy just changes everything about this team, because if you look if you look at the last 2 years, though, who's supposed to be your third best player?
Well, it's him, but
he's supposed to be your third best player, and he can't stay healthy. And when he's healthy, he's not good. He has been terrible.
That's not true.
He has been terrible this year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. This year it's different, though. This year he was late to camp because he was dealing with COVID stuff.
Sure.
He got injured. That's out of his control.
When he gets in shape, when he gets healthy, it'll be fine. I know they go hand in hand. But when he's on the floor, he is not good.
But I'm going to push back at what you're saying. I think he can be their third best player. Sometimes I think he can be their second best player. The problem with that is, their longest run, their deepest run, was made when he wasn't playing.
Yeah, you got hurt that year.
They went to the Western Conference Finals without him. So I'm not saying he doesn't have value, but how valuable is it? I don't know. I guess it depends on the matchup.
At some point, he has to be the second or third best player on your team.
And be on the court consistently.
Yeah, and that includes being on the court, totally in shape, totally invested in that. And at some point, he has to do that. You know, it may not be his fault if his body doesn't cooperate with him.
It's not his fault.
Yeah.
But at some point, he's got to do that.
He was so bad in that Milwaukee game on Friday night. It was like unplayable territory where you just got to get him out of there.
Yeah, he had a bad night. There's no refuting that.
So, I mean, you add that to not being able to stay healthy. I don't know how you're not concerned about where this is going. Your thoughts welcome. 503-250-1080. So he's not playing tonight, and there's a lot on the line. The Blazers are taking on the Clippers. This is a must-needed win for them.
My big question, one, you're right. Tonight is a huge one. These are how we're grading the team, so it's big. But this is my question. I mean, what is the value of him? If your deepest run was made without him,
you get to the conference finals.
You also can't refute the impact he makes when he is healthy and on the court. We've seen what that can be.
I don't know how I weigh that for them in the postseason. I really don't. It hurts because you have depth issues at that spot. But Stotts also kind of likes to toy with this small ball lineup.
Sure. Sure, and maybe McCanter's been great filling in, there's no doubt, but he doesn't bring it defensively. So we'll talk about that, just how important is he, and then how you feeling about tonight. They take on the Clippers. Portland has won 7 out of 10. I think they're 8-3 since CJ came back. So can they get it done tonight? We'll get to the mail sack at 8:15. And then, of course, we got some poll questions to answer. It's going to be a load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.